from glory to glory. And that's the sanctification process, where he takes us and he changes us and he molds us, and we become more and more of who he has made us to be. We are made more and more holy, which means to be set apart, sanctified, holiness, very much together, where we are set apart. We are set apart for the kingdom of God. We are set apart for him. Even like yesterday, the whole wedding ceremony is really two people choosing to set themselves apart for each other. You know? That's good. Where God changes us and changes us.
It comes from Leviticus 20, verse 8. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy.
Yeah. So good. It so goes along with what just the Lord has been sharing with me here. So I even think about just yesterday, right? And it's like, it reminds me of, you know, so I'm, you know, nice little Mennonite boy growing up. And, you know, Chris and Britt, who were leading the reception during that first song that Chris, Britt, and Craig played, he alluded to the reality of many of our growing up years, that dancing is verboten, forbidden, you know, and it's looked on as sin. a few jokes come to mind, which I won't share, but just, you know, almost like dancing was one of the highest sins. And I look at just the joy. It's not the first time I've danced, and often with the way the Lord works in us, it's a process. God takes us through a process. Maybe it's because we couldn't handle a full-scale change, like all in one swoop, you know. We need a few surgeries. It's like having some surgery that, you know, some people who have been really injured, they can't, the doctor can't fix everything at once. They need to have, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15 surgeries to help correct what has gone wrong. And so maybe I was so injured that God takes me through a number of different surgeries. Even yesterday morning at the funeral, we were worshiping and we were singing some hymns, and man, just God was moving. And I know that no one else in the whole congregation is probably raising their hands or not, and you know, and it's not about that, right? But I still get caught up in that. I need to be set free from that. And as I'm sitting there worshiping, the reason for physical expression, like whether it's dancing or raising our hands or bowing low or lying prostrate before the Lord, is to give physical expression to what's happening in the spirit, right? That's the way I see it. This is happening in the Holy of Holies right now. I've got to give it physical expression out in the outer courts, because this is what's taking place inside. Because again, we're body, soul, and spirit. Everything is meant to be one. There is not meant to be any disunity between body, soul, and spirit. And in heaven, it will be fully perfected where everything is one, okay? And when Jesus died on the cross, that's part of what was taking place. You remember when he gave up his last breath, the veil was torn in the temple between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And what he's saying there, what the Lord is saying to us there, is everything that's in the Holy of Holies, which is God's presence, that's his place of manifest presence. In the Old Testament, I've taught on this before, it says over and over and over again that I dwell between the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. So you had the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat on top, Part of the mercy seat was the two cherubim overlooking, stretching out their wings, touching each other. And even in the temple in the Old Testament, then you had a few large cherubim made out of pure gold, touching the one wall and then into the middle of the room. And then the other cherubim was touching the wings here and touching the wall over here. And he says, I live between the cherubim. Well, when the veil was torn, God's saying, I want my presence not just to be in this hidden place. I want my presence to have full access to the Holy of Holies. And then even when they dedicated the temple in the Old Testament, the glory cloud of God, the glory of God manifested as a cloud and just blew through the doors of the temple and went from the holy place to the Holy of Holies and out the front. It's just my glory. And we know that in his kingdom come, right, in the millennial reign of Christ and then beyond, it says his glory will fill the earth, will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so it's just all going to be perfect, where everything is manifest, spirit, soul, and body. And yes, again, we will have bodies. And so as I'm worshiping, I know that God is doing something in my spirit, and say I'm dancing in my spirit, or I'm raising my hands in my spirit, but sometimes, like years past, but I wouldn't raise my hands in my body. But it's happening in my spirit. And some people say, well, that's good enough. As long as it's happening in your heart. No. We're supposed to give full expression. You know, don't hold the Holy Spirit back. And so yesterday at the funeral, you know, I'm there and we're singing these hymns and just God is moving and I have my head bowed. It's so beautiful. And there's a little bit of nostalgia too, you know, I grew up with hymns and all that, but actually not so much nostalgia as the Lord was moving. And then in my spirit, I see my hand raising. I'm like, oh, the Lord. I know where I am right now. And so it's like decision time. Will I follow? Will I follow his lead? Will I obey? Will I give expression? Will I yield to the flesh and the fear of man? Or will I yield to the spirit and the holy fear of God? Not fear as in I'm going to be punished if I don't raise my hand or something. But will I dance with him? He's extended his hand to me, saying, come and dance with me. Will I refuse him? And so I hand out kind of like this, you know, a little low. And then, but I see it in my spirit as fully extended. And I have to confess, it took me a little while to get the hand fully extended. It's like, I want to worship you. I want to give expression to this. I want to be changed. I want to be sanctified. Because it really is that sanctifying process where it's only you and me, God. It's only me and you, me worshiping you. And yes, it's us as well, but I want to give full expression. You know, it's us as a body as well. So then I looked to them yesterday evening. So that was the morning at the funeral. Then yesterday evening again. And praise God, he's taken me through a process. And I was sharing beforehand with some of you where I think it really, I don't know where it started, but one of those stones of remembrance for me was my brother-in-law's wedding, Kevin and Laura. And there was a dance. Because, many weddings that I've been to don't have dances, you know? Because, again, dancing is verboten, right? And so, but they had a dance. And my kids are out there. And this is where God is, like, you know, yeah, like, this one place where, Lord, use my kids, and I see them wanting to dance, and I see them dancing and being free. It's like, I got to get out there. And I have to admit, actually, I have to admit to myself that, you know what? God has made me a dancer, I think.
Yep.
You know? And I know that it's not for everyone, like not everyone. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to dance. Everyone needs, I believe everyone is called to have the freedom to, but we should have the freedom to sit as well. But again, as I look at what God is doing in my spirit and in my heart, how he's made my soul as well, and the soul isn't a bad thing. The soul is a very good thing. Okay, the Lord has made me body, soul, and spirit. The way he's made my personality is like, oh, Kevin, do you know I've made you a dancer? You know that I've made you as someone who really likes moving? I like to move it, right? You know that? And so at that wedding, got out on the dance floor and felt a little awkward at first. And are people watching? Because the fear of man, right? It's about the fear of man. What are other people thinking? Tyler gave me great advice yesterday. He said, dancing is all about confidence. Doesn't even matter if you have the right moves or not. It's all about confidence. And really that confidence, I think, comes from this place of, like, you know, we've all heard the phrase, dance like no one is watching. And it is that place of, really, I'm just dancing. I'm dancing out of freedom. I want to dance. I want to express myself out of freedom. And as if you and I are the only ones, Lord. And in the midst of, that's here in worship. Yesterday, to have that freedom with each other as well, and to just enjoy, to just celebrate. And that's how God is sanctifying me. Because I was just marveling this morning at how what happened yesterday and what so many of us have been taught is, again, verboten, is unholy, is not right. God uses that, and what happened yesterday, the joy of yesterday, the celebration of yesterday, the celebration of marriage, the celebration of just life, too. Because I've got to admit, when I was out on the dance floor, I wasn't there celebrating Emily and Kelsey's wedding, okay, or marriage. Yes, you'd look over at them and see them dancing, too, and all right, yeah, this is good. But, like, it was really just a celebration of life. And who is the giver of life? God is the giver of life. And so it's this celebration. And that, I was just marveling as we were worshiping together, I can see it in my spirit. I can see it in my soul. That's carried over to today. And who would have thought that God would use dancing to set a Mennonite boy a little bit more free? It reminds me, I love telling this story, and I love because it freaks some people out. And I realize I want to be sensitive to it, okay? And I probably wouldn't share this everywhere or even here all the time. But I tell people the story that part of the freedom that God has brought to my life was brought back in Haiti with a beer in my hand. Again, a Mennonite boy who grew up that all alcohol was sin. Not that that was ever taught. It was just understood. And then things began to change in the Mennonite community when some of our farmers became grape growers. And in the wine industry. It's really funny. But I still remember it like it was yesterday. Thomas Sant, 25. There's this street called Delma that runs right through the heart of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And then it goes through Pétionville, which is one of the suburbs of Port-au-Prince, and then up the mountain. There's a mountain. We lived on a mountain for our last year or two. One year. And then our street was Thomasin 25, and it went into a little subdivision. And on the corner there, away from many people, away from the eyes of many people, was a little store, and very much like what we have in the U.S., there was milk, and right beside the milk was, you know, some beer or whatever. And it was a hot day, as usual in Haiti, and I knew we were having hamburgers, and I was like, oh, nice beer would go well with it. But I pull up to the store, and who is there but Dale? What was his name?
Dale Hewley.
I was going to say Hewley, but that wasn't right. Hewley. His Toyota 4Runner. You got to know this is of God. because I can't even remember some stuff that happened last week, you know. And this happened almost 20 years ago, okay, or 21 years ago. You're 21, right? Yeah. So this is when Tyler was just a baby. I remember seeing his 4Runner, Toyota 4Runner, and I knew that they lived just around the corner. I was just going to go home. It's like, no, I can't go in there now. I got to go home. No, I am free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know, quoting Galatians to myself. And okay, I'm going to get in there. And so I drive into the parking lot. I walk into the store. Well, Dale, and understand, yeah, the milk and the juice was right next to the beer, right? He is standing right there. Like, right there. Okay, do I wander around the store until he leaves? You know? No. It's for freedom that Christ has set me free. I walk over. Dale turns around. What does he have in his hand? But 2 cans of beer. I say, hi, Dale. Hi, Kevin. I grab some. I walk behind him in line. We pay, and we go our separate ways.
You mentioned he was in our church?
Yeah, oh yes, he was in our church. That's right, sorry. He was in our church, a member of our church, and understand our church in Haiti was an interdenominational church, so it wasn't a non-denominational, it was interdenominational, which means you have all these different theologies, all these different viewpoints, and some very conservative, and some a little bit more liberal, some a little bit more legalistic, some a little bit more set free, all worshiping together, which is actually a really beautiful thing in many ways, you know? But I always pictured that they were maybe, this family was maybe from a little bit more, I don't know why I thought this, but a little bit more of the legalistic side. Maybe I just thought everyone was, because I was. You know, that's how I grew up a little bit. But God used that to set me free. And then I had to choose. I have to choose whether I'm going to hold on to that freedom or not. Now, there's parts in Scripture that talk about don't use your freedom to offend others. Don't use your freedom to cause others to fall. And so I think of Romans chapter 14, you know, where it talks about, you know, if what you do causes your brother to sin and stumble, then may you never do it again. Like Paul says, may I never eat meat again then. He would go vegetarian. Okay, for love of the body of Christ. May I never drink wine again, he says. Okay, if that's, you know, so we don't use our freedom in a way to flaunt, but we also don't give up our freedom. In the sense of, I am free in my heart. I am free. God has set me free. And it's for freedom that Christ has set me free. It's for joy. And so I look at yesterday then, and it's almost like, especially us being together, we've been worshiping together for a while, we've been meeting together, you know, but then there's others there too, and I don't know where everyone else is at. And so there's familiar faces. See, at Kevin and Laura's wedding, we were way out in New Brunswick, and there was hardly anyone there that we knew except family and, you know, Carlene's family is fun and all that, and they don't mind these things anyways. And yesterday, yeah, I didn't know if I would dance or not. And, you know, my boys get out on the dance floor, and again, God uses them. Come on, Dad. Well, you know. Go on. They encourage, and they start encouraging me and inviting me. And then all of a sudden, I don't just all of a sudden find it, I allow it. I allow my foot to start tapping. And I allow that freedom. I give that freedom permission to manifest in my life. And again, for everyone it's different. I'm not saying if you didn't dance, I know I teased Larry, but like I don't want to try and force Larry to be me. And I don't want to... Yeah, you're very lucky. And I don't want to force myself to be Larry or whoever else. I don't know if Larry's a dancer yet or not. Was the circle thing was really good.
But baby steps.
Absolutely. But it's allowing that freedom that God has built in me, that God has worked in me all his work, and he has been working on me for years, for decades, allowing that work to manifest, not pushing it down, not pushing it away, but actually fanning it into flame, and being able to dance, being able to celebrate. And then I see this, and this is the funny thing, right? I see the effects on this morning. I see a difference in me. And it's just a little bit more of what God has already been doing, but I see a difference. And I pray that it won't fade. And that's my choice. That's my choice of whether it fades or not. And I want to choose to nourish that. I want to choose to feed that freedom in Christ, that godly freedom, not the ungodly. The world talks about freedom, and it's an ungodly freedom that they want, a license to sin. No, but that godly freedom to express myself in worship to God, or express myself in joy of life, because that is actually worship to God as well. To not push it away. I've seen people do that. And I've probably done it in my own life. Can't remember, but I've probably done it in my own life. I've seen God do work in people's lives. And you can see them changing right before your eyes. I remember once I saw a person, God took them to a place to be ministered to. They came back, they were changed. The anointing was just pouring off this person. I can remember it. And then slowly over the next few weeks, months, it just drifted back to what it was. And I imagine the reason for that is they didn't nourish it. They didn't tend the gift that God was giving. They didn't, it's like getting a beautiful plant as a present or something. And, oh, it's wonderful, let's set it up here. And then you don't water it. You don't change its soil. You don't fertilize it. Oh, it was such a beautiful gift while it lasted. And they weren't meant, I've heard this phrase before, they weren't meant to be like cut roses. Cut roses are meant to be beautiful for a little bit, but then they'll just fade, they'll die. That's not the kind of gift God gives. He doesn't give cut roses. He plants a rose garden. He plants it in good soil. And it's meant to live. And it's meant to thrive. And we are called to tend it. Right? We are called to nurture it. We are called to fertilize it and water it. God gave me a little bit more of a gift yesterday. And it was on the dance floor. Oh my goodness. It was on the dance floor. And I want to tend that. I don't want to just take a picture of it and keep it as a nice memory. I want to tend that. I want to nurture it. I want to fertilize it. And I want to see that freedom expressed in all my life. And especially here, I guess, as well. That worship of God. I know that one of the ways that I have tended the things that the Lord has given me in the past is really this, I alluded to it earlier, is this, just you and me, Lord. You know, dance like no one's watching. Dance like it's just you and the Lord. And I'm just using dance as an example. It's not about dance. It's about freedom. Yesterday or the day before, we were just talking, Julie and I, and we were talking about prayer. And she asked me, when you pray, Kevin, do you, like, because she saw this in me a little bit, do you pray as if no one else is around? Like, do you almost forget that other people are there? And it was true. I said, yes, actually. And I've sometimes got to watch that. But yeah, when I begin praying, Like even as we're together, whether it's praying before worship or praying, interceding for someone or whatever, it's like almost forget that everyone else is here. And I pray just like I pray at home when it's just me and God. And it's this place of just you and me, Lord. My eyes are fixed on you. I've used the illustration about marriage before, and when Carlene walked down that aisle, and I can't wait to ask Kelsey and Emily how their experience and how they viewed yesterday, you know, and what yesterday was like. But I know that when Carlene came down the aisle, no one else existed. Not even her dad, who was right beside her, holding her arm. In my eyes, it was just my bride. It was just. The words in Matthew chapter 5, and one of the translations, I think it's the New King James Version or the King James Version, it says, let your eye be single. If your eye is single, and in the NIV it talks about if the light in your body is good, if the eyes are good, but in the other places, if your eye is single. It's like, I only have eyes for you, Jesus. And the cool thing about that is, and almost the paradox and irony of it is, as I only have eyes for Jesus, then I can see everyone else better. And I can serve them better. And I can see his kingdom come more effectively when it's just my eyes are only on you, Lord. Because then all of a sudden you're ministering to people without even knowing that you're ministering to them. So yesterday... So after we're done, I'm all sweaty, need to get home, take a shower. You know, Carlene had a conversation or two. I think I was there when Cheryl shared that with you. And she came to us, I was standing there too, she came to us and said, it is so good to see a pastor get out there and dance. And I don't share that for, hey, way to go, Kevin, you know. But I look at that and I see that God used it to minister. Right? Our son Josh came up to me later and said, I had never seen a pastor dance so much. And again, it was his way of saying, even if he didn't realize, he's saying that God was ministering to him. And so as I'm out on, I wasn't thinking about ministry. I was thinking about make sure you don't fall down. You know? Make sure you don't trip over your own feet. Now, try and keep up with the guys. Enjoy yourself. That's what I was saying. I was saying, celebrate. This is fun. This is good. And little did I realize that in my freedom and just living life, I actually ministered to people. Now, I would not doubt for a second if there were some, and I don't know if last night, but maybe on another occasion, at another place, I wouldn't doubt if there's some who were very cross with me, maybe. And, oh, who knows? Yep, shame. You know, maybe, I don't know if last, but in certain circles that would happen, but so be it. You know, Jesus... In the way he lived his life, he couldn't satisfy everyone. And people accused him, you just hang out with, you're a drunkard and a glutton, they said. Which means that Jesus went to parties and he participated. He ate and he drank. Now, responsibly, biblically, like, you know, but he participated. But that didn't satisfy people. People were... John the Baptist, on the other hand, didn't take part in those things. His calling was different. Well, instead of calling him a drunkard and a glutton, they called him demon-possessed. Just can't satisfy some people. If you participate, if you don't participate. It's not about that. But know that people who are... I guess what I would say is people who are open to the things of God, or they might not even know it that way. But anyways, as you walk in freedom, know this, you will minister to people without even knowing that you're ministering to people. Because freedom is contagious. Freedom is attractive. And even people who don't even know, people who would not think, I'm seeking after the Lord, their hearts are yearning for the things of God. I was sharing recently about how, where did I share this? It doesn't matter. But I was mentioning to someone, Carlene and I have been married for 25 years. And do you know that the world wants what we have? Maybe I was sharing it here even, or Monday night. But they want what we have. Non-Christians. People who don't fear God, who don't even think about God. If you go up to a non-Christian somewhere and you say, yeah, we've been married 25 years and we're in love and we so respect each other and care for each other, the hardest non-Christian would be like, oh, that's so great. That sounds so good. The world wants what we have, and as we walk it out, it's attractive to them. People are drawn, and all of a sudden you're ministering to people and not even realizing that you're ministering to them. Let the Lord sanctify you. Let the Lord continue to change you. Say yes to Him. Sometimes it's hard. You know, I think about what Mel shared. Again, sometimes it's hard. When He brings a word like that to you, and again, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit brought that to you, because no person could bring that word to you. It just wouldn't be the same. And now I want to encourage you, follow Him in that word. Choose it. He's brought a beautiful rose bush into your garden when He said that to you just a few days ago. And now tend it and nourish it and fertilize it. And this goes for all of us. Whatever God is speaking to, however He's changing us, nourish it. Say yes to Him. Guard what you believe. Guard the way you think about your life. Measure it against Scripture. May it be biblical. May it be holy. May it be good. And just allow Him to change you. Allow Him to do His work in you. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. And really, only Him. I know there's but you understand that. There's certain things where it's like, yeah, but Lord, aren't I supposed to fix my eyes on my wife and my kids and all that? Yes, as you take the whole counsel of Scripture, absolutely. But the foundation is my eyes only on You, Lord God. You and You alone. And allow Him to change you. The Lord who sanctifies. The God who sanctifies. I praise Him, and I just want to give public testimony to that. I praise Him for how He's changed me. I praise Him for the freedom that He's brought. Because along with this freedom has come incredible joy, laughter, an experience of life like I wasn't even searching for necessarily. And I worship Him for that. I would encourage all of us to say yes to God in those areas, whatever He is bringing. Are there any questions or comments on this? Okay, I'm going to add one more thing then, and then I'll ask again. But it's that area of invitation as well, then. I want to add this to it. Again, the Holy Spirit, if you choose to believe it, the Holy Spirit was inviting me onto the dance floor last night, all right? But the invitation was made manifest through my sons and through just the atmosphere as well and that, but may we invite people. And yes, may our lives invite them. But then also, sensitively and with under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, may we invite people. May we invite people onto the dance floor. May we invite people to freedom. Invite people to wholeness. Invite people to purity. Invite people into life. I know I spoke on this a few weeks ago, but this is the fact. People want what you have. And for those who have that, well, we all have a calling of evangelism, but some have the gift of evangelism. Invite the non-believer. I used to believe the lie, and I renounce this lie, Lord, in front of everyone here. Like when we first started Emmanuel Grace, I thought, I don't know if we're a church that really is a place for a brand new believer. I think we're a perfect church for a brand new believer. I think we're a perfect church. Not saying anything against anyone else, okay? It's not about that. But I just renounced that lie. Because maybe I thought, oh, we're too deep for a new believer. All that. And Lord, forgive me for sin of pride. Forgive me for that sin. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Invite people. Not just non-believers. And again, it's not about inviting to Emmanuel Grace. It's about inviting them to God. But if people need a home, non-believers or new believers or long-time believers. Again, it's not about inviting to Emmanuel Grace, but invite them into freedom. Don't hold back. Don't be ashamed of what God has done in you. Don't be ashamed of praying with your husband in the middle of the night and God surging through you in power. You know, people are waiting to hear stories like that. And as long as the focus is Jesus, but renounce the lie then that, oh, if I talk about the power, it'll take away from Jesus. No, it won't. It glorifies Jesus because who gave the power? Jesus did. It doesn't take away from Jesus when we talk about the experiences that Jesus has done in our lives, that he has given us. Speak on those things. Talk about it. Share it. Again, under God's leading, and there's God's timing, and there's a sensitivity that the Holy Spirit will show you. But you know what? Sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit is only sensitive. Now, he is sensitive. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is also quite bullish sometimes. That's one of his characteristics that we don't focus on sometimes too much. But the Holy Spirit sometimes gets quite aggressive. John chapter 3 compares him to a mighty wind. No one knows. And we've had a few windy days here recently. That wind blows pretty hard sometimes. So when the Lord wants to aggressively pursue someone, allow him to manifest himself in you when he wants to use you to aggressively pursue someone. But I pray that invitation would be a part of our lives. Invitation. I was just reading this morning in Matthew, the wedding banquet, and the king preparing a wedding banquet, and he says, go invite people. And certain people say, no, I don't want to come. I've got a field. I'm busy. And they start making excuses. And then the king says, invite anyone you find. Just anyone you run into. Just invite them. Invite them. Invite them. Invite them. Invite them. Invite them. And eventually his kingdom, his room, his banqueting hall was filled. May your lives be a living invitation. May the way you live your life be an invitation to others, but then also give word to it sometimes. We share about what God is doing in our lives here, and we all benefit from it. We all love it. Share with others and invite them into it. When you share these stories, say, you know what? God can do the same in your life. This isn't just for me, it's for you too. I'm not a favorite child, I'm just one of his children. Invite people onto the dance floor. Any questions or comments?
I have to renounce that too. That lie that you were speaking of, there's been a couple times where, because we go long and, yeah. So I just, yeah, Lord God, I say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been that lie, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
No, I believe the same thing, man. How can we invite people here when we sometimes go 3 hours? Can't do it. That's a lie. It's a lie.
So I have to renounce that lie. Like, sometimes I think, you know, inviting people here, you know, obviously world standards, we have some weird stuff, the shofars and speaking of tongues and stuff, and it's like, oh, that'll throw them off, you know. Sometimes it's just the things that come to mind, but it's like, this is God's stuff, you know. This is, he loves and this is of him, you know. It's like, you're saying that, like, what God is, you know, and what he enjoys and what he has, these gifts, you know, he's given to us. It's just, you know, you're saying that, you know, that's, people will find that we're like, God is weird, I guess, by world standards, but, you know, that's what, you know, that's why we got to follow him, because he's not of the world, you know.
Yeah.
So, as, you know, renounce that in me, Lord, this thought of, you know, oh, you know, we're too weird for people, you know, people get thrown off of you, but throw that off.
And I'm really sorry for any way that I have pushed that on you. Because sometimes we've joked. And maybe we've got to be careful how we joke sometimes too. Sometimes I've joked, yeah, we're a little bit weird, or we're that church, you know? And it's just speaking some stuff over us that isn't healthy, and I'm sorry for that. And I know that sometimes when we get uncomfortable, we start joking, and man, we've got to guard our tongues. But I'm sorry for I'm putting that on you. So you know what? Like what you're saying there, I think actually what the Lord does in our midst is quite normal. Through the kingdom of God's eyes, like through his eyes, what he does among us is quite normal. It's not weird. It's just the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I confess, I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness for putting that on you.
When you said normal, in my head, it's kind of added on, like, and relatively tame.
It's true.
Too. Like, we may think it's weird, but it's just like, no, this is normal, and really not much yet.
I like how you put the yet on there. It's like, God's like, man, I haven't shown you hardly anything yet. true. One song comes to mind from my childhood. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. What the Lord has made for us, you ain't seen nothing yet. Do you know what it is? You should know. David and the Giants.
Oh,
wow. That's a long time ago. You ain't seen nothing yet.
That really, the song, Swing Wide, You Heavenly Gates, mm-hmm. that comes from Psalm 24, and I'm just going to read the last part of it because I think it really ties into this whole thing, but lift up your heads, O ye gates, you lifted up your ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King.
Yeah, I want to just affirm that reference because I was just sensing God saying open doors.
Especially the word, when you read that there, the word ancient really hit me. And some of these 200, 300, 400 year old doors that are cherished, they need to be open. And you swing wide. I let the King of Glory in.
We have the door problem. We're learning.
Yes.
It's good. It's not quite swung wide though. But it is open. Gotta start somewhere. It's good.
We're just thinking about reference to inviting people onto the dance floor. And I had done that yesterday with someone who I could see sitting at the table, and it was, you could see that they were just almost waiting for someone to pull them up. And like, I was just thinking how true that is for a lot of people who don't know God yet. Like, they're just waiting for that person to invite them. And how important it is for us to listen to that.
And I know, like my heart for the church, like for the body of Christ, I know that there are many in the body of Christ who are waiting for that. They're in the family, they're part of the family, they're part of the celebration, but they're sitting there at the table on the outskirts, you know, just sitting and watching. And there's some people who long to be pulled onto the dance floor. I want to pray. So, Lord, we give you glory. Think of that one song. Look at what he's done in us. Look at what you've done, Lord. And I know that, like Craig has already shared, like, I know you're sitting there saying, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, there's so much more. And I say, yes, Lord. Bring it. Because I know you'll provide. I know that you'll provide. And so we just praise you and we worship you for all that you've done in us, all that you are doing in us. Lord, I want to celebrate. I want to give voice. I want to celebrate with Mel. I want to celebrate just your word given to her. And I know that there's more. And I know that you have not just given this word and then left. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You've given this and you will provide and you will continue to provide. And I pray for that whole, again, I see like a rose bush. I pray for that rose bush and I pray that it would blossom and flourish. And Lord God, I praise you for what you're doing in all of us, the freedom that you're bringing. I thank you for pointing out lies that we have believed, and we humbly and joyfully bring those to the foot of the cross, and thank you that they're taken care of there. They're done away with there. We worship you. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for forgiveness for the lies that we've believed. May your kingdom come more and more. May your will be done. We want to swing wide the gates over our lives, Lord, and may the King of Glory come in. May you have your way. We love you. Oh, we love you. You're so worthy. Jesus. Jesus, 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 we love you. We love you, we love you.